Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special.
Darkness enveloped the land as an eerie silence settled over the crowd that had gathered at Golgotha. It was an unusual gloom for midday, and the air was thick with tension and unease. The sun, once a fierce orb shining in the sky, now hid behind a veil of shadows, as if mourning the unfolding scene below. Jesus, the man who had performed countless miracles and preached a message of love and redemption, hung on the cross. His battered body, bruised and bloodied, bore the weight of the sins of humanity. The pungent smell of blood and sweat filled the air, mingling with the moans and groans of the two criminals crucified beside him. Spectators whispered to each other, their faces a mixture of confusion, sadness, and disbelief. Some wept openly, while others looked on with hardened hearts and smirks of satisfaction. The Roman soldiers stood guard, their armor glinting faintly in the fading light, the faint scent of their leather and metal mingling with the atmosphere of anguish. As the hours passed, the darkness deepened, casting an oppressive blanket over the hill. Jesus, struggling to draw breath, cried out in a voice filled with agony, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those who heard him murmured amongst themselves, trying to decipher the meaning behind his words. Finally, with a strength that belied his broken body, Jesus pushed himself up, taking a deep, labored breath. He called out, "It is finished." And with that proclamation, he released his spirit and breathed his last. At that very moment, a powerful earthquake shook the ground, causing the crowd to gasp and stagger. The tremors tore through the earth, splitting rocks and shattering the gloomy stillness. The soldiers, gripped by fear, grasped their weapons tightly as they struggled to maintain their footing. As the ground continued to rumble beneath them, the massive curtain in the temple, miles away, was ripped in two from top to bottom. This sacred veil, which had once symbolized the separation between God and humanity, now lay in tatters, signaling the profound change that Jesus' death had set in motion. With the ground shuddering under the force of the earthquake, an inexplicable phenomenon unfolded. The tremors, fierce and unrelenting, had rent open the tombs of many righteous people who had passed away, including some who had been dead for a long time.
What a scene! Let's take a closer look. The veil of the temple was torn in two. The veil was what separated the holy place from the most holy place in the temple. It was a vivid demonstration of the separation between God and man. Notably, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and it was God who did the tearing. In the words of famed evangelist Charles Spurgeon, as if shocked at the sacrilegious murder of her Lord, the temple rent her garments, like one stricken with horror at some stupendous crime. How did the priests in the temple react to this? Although the New Testament does not specifically identify any priests who were present in the temple when Jesus died, there are some extra-biblical traditions that mention priests in relation to the events surrounding Jesus' crucifixion. However, these accounts should be treated cautiously, as they are not part of the canonical scriptures and may not be historically accurate. One account involves a priest named Zacchaeus, who is mentioned in the writings of the early church historian Eusebius of Caesarea. According to Eusebius, Zacchaeus was a priest in the Jerusalem temple who converted to Christianity after witnessing the events surrounding Jesus' crucifixion, including the tearing of the temple curtain. Zacchaeus later became the first bishop of Caesarea, as appointed by the apostles. There are some who say the man who became the bishop was the former tax collector with whom Jesus ate a meal. But this cannot be confirmed. Acts 6 verse 7 says that in the days of the early church, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Perhaps this torn veil demonstrated to them the greatness of the work of Jesus. It is also probably how the torn veil became common knowledge. Spurgeon continues, "It is not a slight rent through which we may see a little, but it is rent from the top to the bottom. There is an entrance made for the greatest sinners. If there had only been a small hole cut through it, the lesser offenders might have crept through. But what an act of abounding mercy is this, that the veil is rent in the midst, and rent from top to bottom, so that the chief of sinners may find ample passage. That's what happened inside. Outside, the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Nature itself was shaken by the death of the Son of God. Was this the rocks crying out? Again, in the words of Spurgeon, men's hearts did not respond to the cries of the dying Redeemer, but the rocks responded, the rocks were rent. He did not die for rocks, yet rocks were more tender than the hearts of men, for whom he shed his blood. And then, perhaps, the most shocking event of all, the resurrection of the saints. There should probably be a break between the end of Matthew 27 verse 51 and the start of Matthew 27 verse 52. We aren't to suppose that the earthquake that happened and split rocks during the crucifixion also opened graves of some of the righteous dead, who waited in those open graves for 3 days until coming out of the graves after his resurrection. It is better to understand that Matthew intended us to see that the earthquake happened on the day Jesus was crucified. Then, on the day he was revealed as resurrected, the radiating power of new life was so great that it resuscitated some of the righteous dead. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection. This is one of the strangest passages in the Gospel of Matthew. We don't know about this event from any other source, and Matthew doesn't tell us very much. So we really don't know what this was all about, but apparently these resuscitated saints died once again, because they were raised from the dead in the sense that Lazarus was not to eternal life, but to live again in mortal bodies and eventually to die again. Matthew doesn't tell us what happens to these saints after they appear in the holy city. What we do know is that they appear in Jerusalem, the mother city that had rejected Jesus, as proof of his victory. The main actor of this scene is God himself. The verbs in this passage, was torn, shook, were split, were opened, were raised are all passive and imply God as the acting agent. His power breaks through even when all seems to be lost, just as he will be the one who raises Jesus from the dead in the next chapter. The darkening of the sky and rock-splitting earthquake evoke the cosmic upheaval accompanying the day of the Lord spoken about in Isaiah, Joel, and Nahum. Likewise, the end times raising of the dead is anticipated in many Old Testament texts, from 1 Samuel to Psalms to Job to Daniel. Indeed, Ezekiel prophesies that revived bodies will visit the Holy Land. But this apocalyptic coloring doesn't make Matthew's scene unhistorical. Rather, it deliberately invokes Old Testament ideas to convey the significance of what is taking place. The prophesied end-time judgment of God has been brought forward in time, expressed at the cross, and the hope of future resurrection has appeared in part. The insertion of this peculiar scene between Jesus' death and resurrection shows the power of both. His death breaks our tombs open, bringing us out from death's curse, and his new life makes possible our new life. Indeed, the foreshadowing of resurrection in this scene, immediately after Christ breathes his last, connects victory to the seeming defeat. These raised saints entered earthly Jerusalem where the temple veil had been torn. The way into God's presence was opened. But Matthew's peculiar scene is only a foretaste. The full meal will come in heavenly Jerusalem, when God's true temple will be open and unveiled, and the resurrected saints will dwell with the triune God forever. Father, there is much about the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection that we do not understand. Still, we know that because of what happened then, we can lay claim to eternal life. Help us to accept the free gift of salvation that is offered to us. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.